From Hollywood,
Joseph Cotten, Lucille Ball, and Charles Coburn in the hilarious comedy, Bachelor Mother.
Yes, from Hollywood, the Screen Guild Players brought to you each Thursday night by Camel Cigarettes.
How mild
can a cigarette be?
Make the Camel's 30-day test and you'll see.
In a recent coast-to-coast test of hundreds of men and women who smoked Camels and only Camels for 30 days, noted throat specialists reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels. Thursday night, Screen Guild night, when Camel Cigarettes bring you your favorite stars in their greatest motion picture roles. Tonight, it's one of the zaniest comedies ever brought to the screen, a rib-tickling story with three of Hollywood's outstanding performers. Just loosen up and get ready to laugh as the Screen Guild Players present
Bachelor Mother, starring Lucille Ball, Charles Coburn, and Joseph Cotten.
Our story begins on the day before Christmas, the day Polly Parrish lost her job in the department store owned by J.D. Merlin and his son David. So naturally, Polly went job hunting during her lunch hour. But she didn't find a job. She found a baby. The baby was wrapped in a blanket and lying in front of an orphanage door when Polly walked past. Well, almost past. She stopped, picked up the baby, and rang the orphanage door bell. She was standing there holding the infant when a matron opened the door.
Hello, I want to give you this baby. I found it.
Your name, please?
Polly Parrish. I was just passing by
when
I...
Are you employed anywhere?
I'm in Merlin's department store. Say, why the question?
Well, we must know these things before we'll take your baby.
My baby? Oh, you don't understand. I was just walking along the street and I saw it lying on the cold...
Oh, we're only here to help you, my dear.
Well, you're certainly being a great help. I get fired from my job, and now you want to...
My dear, many mothers say babies are not their own.
Now, look here. This is ridiculous. This is not my baby. I tell you, I was just walking past the place. I saw the baby. I picked him up, and then I...
Happy day before Christmas. Fired and an unexpected mother. And that was just the beginning. Before Polly Parrish could break away from the orphanage matron, who insisted that Polly was the mother of the baby, Polly's lunch hour was over, and she hurried back to finish her last day at J.D. Merlin & Sons department store. Soon after, a store messenger came to Polly and led her to the office of David Merlin, the son in J.D. Merlin & Son. The matron from the orphanage was with him.
Come right in, Mrs.
Miss Parrish.
Miss Parrish?
That's right.
I'm David Merlin, Miss Parrish. After talking to this lady from the orphanage, I'm convinced your discharge was a great mistake.
Tragedy is more the word, Mr. Marlin.
So the job is yours for as long as you care to have it.
Thank you.
And you're being raised $5 a week. We want you to realize, Miss Parrish, that Merlin's department store is a store with a heart. I want to wish you and yours a very, very Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you, and the same to you. Goodbye, Mr. Merlin.
Bye. She's a very nice-looking girl.
Yes, poor thing.
You know, I can just see the ecstasy on her face tonight when she receives her real Christmas present from J.B. Merlin and Son.
Mister?
What?
You heard what I... Oh, quiet! I said you heard what I said. You take that baby out of my apartment this minute!
I beg your pardon, miss. You don't seem to realize that this child was sent special rush by J.B. Merlin and Son. Merry Christmas. Good night.
Come back here and get this baby. Oh... Listen, kid, this is nothing personal. Gee, I'd love to have you around, but I really couldn't do right by you.
take your thumb out of your mouth and give your teeth a chance. Oh, right, ruin your face. Who is it?
Fred. Ready to go stepping, baby?
You said it, kid. Come on in, Fred.
Well, you all ready to go stepping? Is that yours?
No, it isn't mine.
Well, where did it come from?
I got it for Christmas.
You don't mean Santa Claus?
I don't know what you're thinking, but you're all wrong.
Sure, sure, of course.
Just as soon as I get my hat and coat, we'll go.
Yeah, well, now, look.
Don't worry about a thing, Fred. All right, let's go, baby.
Hey, you mean we're taking the kid, too?
Certainly. Why wait till the after Christmas rush to exchange a present you can't use? Come on, I'm going to play Santa Claus, too, at the residence of J.B. Merlin and Son, the son of a gun.
Yes, miss?
Is this the home of Mr. David Merlin?
Yes, miss.
Well, I must see him. It's a personal matter. He'll know what it's about when he sees me.
Well, couldn't you write him a letter?
Do you think this came on a postcard?
I really couldn't say, miss. However, I may say that it will be impossible for you to see Mr. David Merlin.
All right, then. You take the baby. That's the way I got it.
But here, miss, you can't do this to me.
And tell Mr. David Merlin that Miss Parrish left it here. And he'll have to use his influence to get it back to the orphanage. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Mr. Merlin. Mr. David. Oh, shut up.
How about letting a fella in for a smoke, Polly?
Oh, it's 2 a.m., Fred, and I have to get up early.
Oh, come on. Let me in for just a minute.
I said no. Go home, Fred.
Oh, don't be like that, Polly. You've said no once. Now let me
in. Perhaps you didn't understand the young lady.
Who's the... Mr. Merlin. Well, I was just leaving... Polly? Good night, Mr. Merlin. Good night.
Well, how did you get in here, Mr. Merlin?
Landlady let us in.
Us?
Oh, your baby and me, Miss Parrish. I've seen some low things in my time, but a mother who would abandon her child just to go on a date...
Would it interest you to know that I am not the mother of that child?
All right, so you're not the mother. You're not employed either.
You're firing me?
I have fired you. And as you go from place to place hunting a job, you'll find that no store in the Merchants of America Association, of which I am junior chairman, will hire you. I'll see to that.
Why, that's boycott. It's persecution. It's arson.
That'll be just the beginning, Miss Parrish, believe me. Now, do you want to keep your baby and get your job back, or do you want to be jailed for child abandonment?
Well, you don't leave me much choice. I'd like to have my job back.
Well, that's much better. As the years go by, Miss Parrish, and as you and your manly little son stroll into life's sunset together, you'll thank me for saving you from this terrible temptation.
Well, I'm not really as bad as you think.
Then why did you do it?
Well, there was just no one I could turn to.
What about your husband, the baby's father?
Huh? Oh, you see, we were never formally introduced.
Well, of course, that does make it a problem.
Hmm.
Well, possibly I can find some way to help you out.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Moore.
That's all right. Good night, Miss Parrish.
Good night. Just a second, kid. Oh, what am I going to do with you? Have you any ideas? All right, but don't blame me if you get stuck with a safety pin. I'm just an amateur at folding triangles, too. Who is it?
It's the landlady and Mrs. Weiss. Oh, could I maybe come in for a minute? So what are you trying to do? Hide the baby? Oh, I know about it. Oh, could you? Just like you, it looks.
Huh? Are you kidding?
Certainly not. I know from babies.
And for you, this baby, I am taking care of personally while you are working. Listen to him talking.
Talking? What's he saying?
Who knows with that dialect?
Good morning, Polly.
Don't talk too loud, Fred. You'll wake me up.
I guess. Walking the floor with the baby, huh?
Oh.
Speaking of the baby, Polly, how's about your getting me a little better job in this joint?
What are you driving at?
Of course, I suppose I could pass my information along to David's old man, J.B., and do myself some good.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The baby. David's baby.
David Merlin's baby? I didn't know he was married.
Well, if you don't, nobody does. But regardless of that, don't forget to tell him I want a better job.
Oh, come on, baby. Eat. Oh, here. Look at Mama. I see. You go for sophisticated entertainment. Yeah. Come in.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Mr. Merlin.
Miss Parrish, do you realize that this is New Year's Eve?
I'll take your word for it. The way I feel, it could be New Year's morning.
Well, it suddenly occurred to me that you must be having a pretty bad evening. I'm going to a New Year's party, and I thought you'd like to go along.
Oh, I'd like to go, but I can't leave the baby.
I've already spoken to your landlady. She'll be glad to watch it.
Well, there's something else.
What?
Look, me with a sweater and skirt. We'd make only half a lovely couple.
Oh, don't you worry about that. We'll go down to the store and pick out a complete outfit.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's... Excuse me. Hello?
This Fred, Polly.
Yes?
I thought I told you to have your sweetie get me a better job in the store.
What are you talking about?
David Merlin. I know he's there now. I saw him go in. You tell him to give me a decent job tomorrow, or I'll...
You what?
I'll tell his old man who the father of that baby is.
Go right ahead. And, Freddy.
Yes?
If you find out who the mother is, let me know.
Now, a brief intermission and time for a smoke. Are you enjoying a mild cigarette?
How mild
can a cigarette be?
Make the Camel 30-day test and you'll see.
Yes, try Camels. Smoke only Camels for 30 days and discover how rich and full-flavored and how mild a cigarette can be.
Mild?
Why, just listen to the report made by noted throat specialists about Camel mildness. In a recent coast-to-coast smoking test, hundreds of men and women smoked Camels and only Camels for 30 days, an average of 1 to 2 packs a day. Noted throat specialists examined the throats of these smokers every week. And these doctors reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels.
Make your own test of Camel mildness and flavor. If at any time you're not convinced that Camels are the best cigarette you've ever smoked, return the package with the unused cigarettes to the makers of Camels, and you'll receive its full purchase price plus postage.
When buying Camels, remember, Camels by the carton are the best buy.
Camel Cigarettes now present Act Two of Bachelor Mother, starring Charles Coburn, Joseph Cotton, and Lucille Ball.
Well, several hours have passed, and it's very early New Year's morning. Polly and David are just returning to her apartment from their evening celebration.
Won't you come in, David?
Why, yes, I was afraid you wouldn't ask me.
Why?
Well, after the way you brushed that Fred fellow aside the other night, I...
Oh, well, he hadn't kissed me.
Well, I suppose I shouldn't have, but it was the stroke of midnight, New Year's Eve, and...
And?
It's just midnight, New Year's Eve again.
It is?
In Chicago. Happy New Year in Chicago.
Oh, the same to you.
I think I will come in.
Good.
We'll stay up and welcome in the new year in Denver, Los Angeles, Honolulu. I can think of a million places.
Well, let's get in and shut the door.
Miss Parrish?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Weiss?
The baby's asleep.
Oh, he was asleep.
I'll put him back to sleep.
So then I'll go now. Soon my boy Jerome is coming home from playing the Piccoletti all night. Jerome, he plays in a swinging band. Oh, such a dizzy way to make a living, in a hammock.
Oh, I don't know how to thank you, Mrs. White.
Ah, the stars in your eyes, that's thanks enough for me. Only one thing you'll promise in the morning, so you'll tell me all about the evening, huh?
I will, Mrs. White.
Good night. Good night.
Well, I guess he decided to wait up and see his Uncle David.
You've come a long way from the girl who wouldn't even admit it was your child.
Well, this is a very unusual baby.
Well, I don't know why it should be.
I guess it's heredity.
Oh, sure, sure.
Why? What's the matter with me?
What about the other 50%? You said yourself you didn't even know who he is.
Well, I don't.
You see?
But I know someone who does.
Who is it?
Fred.
Well, what does he know about it?
He won't tell me, but he's going to tell your father the name of the baby's father. Come in.
I'm John B. Merlin. Is my son here?
Oh, Dad, what are you doing here?
Well, I was just driving around, and I happened to see your car parked outside, so I thought I'd stop in.
Polly, this is my father, Dad, Miss Parrish.
How do you do?
How do you do? And who is this?
This is Miss Parrish's little boy.
A boy? Would you mind, if I was very careful, would you let me hold him just for a minute?
Of course. Here, take him.
Thank you, my dear. See, he knows me. Yes, and I'd know that chin anywhere. What's his name?
John.
John? John what?
John B.
Oh, thanks for that anyway. Kiki ho, coaching for a little horse.
What's he driving at?
You ought to know he's your father.
What'd you say?
Nothing. Oh, Mr. Merlin, is there anything I can do?
You've already done it, my dear. But perhaps you'd better hold little John B. He doesn't seem to recognize me yet.
Oh, of course. This is the first time he's seen you.
Very true, very true. But after all, blood is thicker than water, you know?
You're acting very strangely, Dad. What's the matter?
I'll discuss this with you at home. Goodbye, Miss...
Goodbye.
Goodbye, John B.
Well, David, he knows if you don't.
Knows what?
I think Freddie told him all right.
Told him? To tell him what?
That this baby is your father's grandson.
Oh, well, that's very obvious to anybody. What?
And he certainly sounded as though he believed it.
Oh, well this is, you mean, what? But no, I couldn't possibly be.
Sit down, David, and take it easy. Now you know how I feel.
Is Dad up yet, Phillips?
He's in the dining room, sir.
Well, what's his move?
He's on his third set of dishes, sir.
Well, here goes nothing. Dad, I have to talk to you.
I do the talking. Young man, marriage was good enough for your father and mother, and it's good enough for you. You're going to marry that girl. You're going to bring my grandson into this house.
Now, just a second. I've got something to tell you.
Don't start that with me. You know my temper.
I don't care about your temper. You haven't any grandson.
How can you deny it? I've received information. I saw you with the girl. I saw the baby.
That's not my baby.
Don't lie to me. I got information in a letter. If I didn't have it, I'd know that baby on a desert island by himself. I'd know he was my grandson. He looks like me.
Dad, will you let me say something?
No! My mind's made up. Nobody's going to fool around with my grandson. I'm going to take him away from you. You aren't fit to be his father.
I'm not his father.
You're crazy. That's what's the matter with you. You're unbalanced. Here, where are you going?
To see your grandson.
What about?
Find out who his father is.
Phillips!
Yes, sir.
Bring me some more dishes.
Polly, this is terrible.
Terrible? What?
J.B., Dad thinks that...
I know. He thought Johnny was yours.
This is no laughing matter. He's going to take that baby away.
I'd like to see him.
That's because you don't know him. He'll get lawyers and investigators, use his influence. He'll get the baby away from you.
He can't do that. It belongs to me. We've got to stop him.
What can we do?
Take me to your father. Let me talk to him. I'll convince him.
He won't believe you either. He's gone off his head. He even wanted me to marry you.
Oh.
He wants to set me up with a ready-made family so he'd have a grandson. I tell you, it's serious.
Yes, it would be serious, marrying me.
Oh, I didn't realize how that sounded.
Will you please go?
I didn't mean that, Polly. I'm sorry now. Don't you worry. I'll think of something to get you out of the spot you're in.
Oh, you will. Well, that's very kind of you, Mr. Merlin. But I wouldn't dream of putting you to so much trouble. I'm perfectly capable of handling this myself. And I promise you, by this time tomorrow, your poor, innocent child will have a new father.
Mr. J.B. Merlin will see you now. This way, please.
Thank you. Now be careful, Jerome. Don't forget what I told you to say.
Not a chance. I got it all wrote out here on my shirt cuff.
Mr. and Mrs. Jerome Weiss.
Mr. and Mrs. Weiss? I thought my son introduced you as Miss Parrish.
Well, that's the name I use in the store. We've been married 2 years.
Yeah, that's right. 2 years.
Your son David just called, and there seemed to be a misunderstanding about our baby.
Ain't that a laugh? When my wife, Polly, here was first telling me, I couldn't believe she meant my baby.
Your baby?
Sure. Ain't he the image of his papa? That faraway look in his eyes?
Yes, and they're both bald-headed. So you see, Mr. Merlin, there's no need sending anyone to investigate the baby. It's a waste of time.
I can't believe it. It's as though there'd been a death in the family.
Dad, I've got great news for you.
You have, David?
We certainly have.
And who are you, young man?
I brought him here, Dad. He's the father of Miss Parrish's baby.
What's that you said, David?
Go ahead, Fred. Tell him.
Mr. Merlin, my wife's a very nervous woman. My son is my son. And I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't send any investigators around to make any trouble for us.
Very interesting. David, do you know who that is?
Who? Where?
Right behind you, there in the corner.
Polly, who's the man?
That's the father she brought. You two slipped up someplace. You're overstocked on fathers. And I'm going to prosecute both of them.
Mr. Merlin, your son made me do this. I'll tell you the truth, and I know what I'm talking about. Your son is the father of that baby.
He's lying, Dad. That worm with Polly must be the father.
Who, me? I'm only the landlady's son. I'm not the father.
I don't care who the father is. I'm the grandfather.
Polly, where is she?
She's gone.
Gone? She'll take the baby. Catch her. I want my grandson.
Polly, let me in, quick.
You get away from here.
You open this door. Let me in before my father gets here. I have to tell you something.
I don't care. I'll never open it. Get away! You get out of here. You're not going to get this baby.
I'm not trying to take your baby away from you.
Then leave me alone. You've caused me nothing but trouble ever since the first time I saw you. You know so darn much.
Polly, listen, please.
I won't.
You must. Don't know what I've been going through since you threw me out of here this afternoon. I thought I was doing all this because I wanted to help you, but I know better now.
So do I. You're just a busybody.
Maybe, but I'm also in love, Polly, with you.
Huh?
The truth, you've got to believe me.
Oh, David, do you mean it?
I can prove it. It must still be New Year's Eve somewhere.
Oh, David.
Polly, darling.
David. Miss Parrish. Well, at least you could stop when I'm talking to you.
Huh?
Dad.
Well, so I found you. I knew it. I knew it all the time. Well, David, what do you say now?
I confess, Dad. I am the father of that child.
Oh, David.
Those are the first true words that have passed your lips in 48 hours.
Come on, Johnny. Your parents are all tangled up. Let them straighten it out. You're going with your grandfather. Now, when you two can come to me as an honest married couple, you'll be very welcome. Until then, good day. Come on, John B. the Second.
Well?
You heard what Grandpa said. Let's go.
Do you mean that?
I got the license on the way down.
And you're willing to spend your life with a ready-made family?
If the family's you and Johnny.
You know something, David?
What,
I'll bet this is the first time in history that a baby ever gave birth to a mother and father.
Stars Joseph Cotton, Lucille Ball, and Charles Coburn will return to the microphone in just a moment.
How mild can a cigarette be?
Make the camel 30-day test and you see.
Well, all over the country, people have been taking the advice you just heard in that little song. Yes, they've made the camel 30-day mildness test, and now they know how mild a cigarette can be. One of these people is Gene Bearden, star pitcher of the Cleveland Indians. Here's what Gene told us.
I made the 30-day test, and I found that Camels are the mildest, best-tasting cigarette I've ever smoked.
Try Camels yourself for 30 days. See how much you enjoy the rich, full flavor of Camel's choice, properly aged tobaccos. See just how mild a cigarette can be.
In a recent test, hundreds of men and women smoked Camels and only Camels for 30 days. Noted throat specialists, after making weekly examinations of these smokers' throats, reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels.
Yes, try Camels in your T-zone. T for taste and T for throat. See how rich and full flavored, how mild a cigarette can be.
And now that they've tucked their baby safely away for the night, here are our three stars again to take a final bow for their hilarious performances. Joe, Lucille, Mr. Coburn, it was wonderful.
Vern, it's wonderful to be back home again and even more wonderful to be appearing here, you know. Even in England, they're familiar with this program. And I spread a little propaganda. I explained how much this show contributes to the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house and hospital, and how everyone in Hollywood considers it a privilege to share in that work.
Joe, I hope you spread some propaganda about our sponsor, too.
What do you mean, Lucille?
Well, each week, men and servicemen's hospitals are remembered by the makers of Camels with free smokes. Among other hospitals, free Camels are being sent this week to Veterans Hospital, Wichita, Kansas, U.S. Army Tilton General Hospital, Fort Dix, New Jersey, U.S. Marine Hospital, Norfolk, Virginia.
Yes, sir. Makes a total of more than 187 million cigarettes that the Camel people have sent to servicemen, servicewomen, and veterans.
Happy smoking, fellows. Your cigarettes are on the way to you now with the compliments of Camels.
Screen Guild Players are directed by Bill Lawrence. Remember, Thursday night is Screen Guild night. Next week, one of the real treats of the radio season. Barbara Stanwyck and Robert Taylor appearing together in a powerful and dramatic story.